And I noticed in the chat we have some newcomers. So Diana and Christy, welcome, and welcome to anybody else who's new to OA or anybody in OA that is might be suffering from compulsive overeating. So I am going to just start by giving some numbers and dates, kind of like a broad overview. I started coming to OA at the end of 1980s, towards the end of the 80s. I was in my 20s. I am 67. I have had varying degrees of abstinence and relapse over the decades. My current abstinence is from November 2022, so it's about 15 months. I started out binging and purging in my 20s. I was addicted to syrup of Ipecac, and for many years binged and purged. And I was always at a normal weight. After being freed from that compulsion to purge, my weight went up to about 200. And right now, I'm probably about 130s, 30s. I'm not sure. I don't weigh myself. I do weigh, actually, I do, but it's been months. So I don't know the number on the scale, but it's around 130s. And abstinence, I noticed somebody said I don't know what abstinence means. And I think that for everybody, the pamphlet that was mentioned, which I'm going to put in the chat, OA newcomers pamphlet, talks about what abstinence is and what a food plan is. And my food plan, abstinence for everybody is it from whatever their compulsive eating behaviors manifest as. I'm from Cyprus and my internet is unstable, so I may have to turn my camera off. I apologize. But everybody's food plan is different. Mine is three moderate meals a day, and rarely do I have a snack in between, and I don't binge. So for me, binging means eating large quantities of food in a short amount of time. And almost always it begins with sugar and or refined carbs, but I can overeat on anything. But that's my definition of my food plan and what abstinence means to me. So I'll go ahead and start sharing. And again, as I said, I am calling from the island of Cyprus. On the Greek side, I have been traveling since last July. So, and again, I might have to turn my camera off because I keep getting this pop-up saying it's unstable. So, as I mentioned, I came into OA in the 1980s, in my early 20s, and up until that time, I considered myself to be a normal eater. I could take or leave food. I never thought about food. I never thought about my weight. My size stayed the same year after year after year. So what happened was in my teens, I experienced a couple of different, I would say, traumatic experiences. And starting around from the age of 12 to 14, things were happening that overwhelmed me. There was a parent who committed suicide, a parent who was institutionalized, and there was abuse. And I only mention it because everything changed after that. And I didn't feel safe in the world anymore. And I decided that I wasn't going to trust anybody. I wasn't going to talk to anybody. And I certainly was not going to feel my feelings anymore. I felt that feeling certain feelings like anger was dangerous. Bad things happen to people if I got angry. And I was totally disassociated from grief, from fear, from pain, from everything. And what I did was I started to drink alcohol and drugs. So that went on for a number of years. And it wasn't until my early 20s that working as a new nurse in a city hospital in Cleveland, night shift in the emergency room, that as a way of kind of trying to cope, I started eating large quantities of sugar. And I did it too because it alleviated the stress I was under. It kept me awake through my shift. And I think, like the big book talks about, we essentially drink, eat, whatever the substance is, because we like the effect. And that's true for me. I like the effect. I felt like it tamped my feelings, my fears, my loneliness. And then at the same time, I began to use syrup of ipecac to make myself vomit. So that's how my eating disorder started. I was a normal weight at the time. And I remember thinking, oh my, I am so fat, I must go to Weight Watchers. So that was my solution at the time, was to go to that program. And I was totally clueless about having an illness, about not having power, about the progressive nature of the disease. And it was many, many years of trying different things to stop. And most of them, I would say all of them, except for this program, in addition to some other things I've had to do, finally enabled me to put down the food. One of the things that the Big Book talks about is that the addict does not want to admit they are mentally and bodily different from their fellows. And that was me. And over the decades, there were pretty low lows, a couple of suicide attempts, and many attempts to eat like other people. And since I crossed that line in my 20s, I never in all my years have been able to go backwards to eat like I did prior to that time. But I did try hard enough and long enough, as it talks about in the Big Book. So, so throughout those years, I did the things that most of us do. I isolated, I drew the curtains, took the phone off the hook, and I ate large volumes of food. I ate out of garbage cans. I ate off the floor. I stole food from roommates, grocery stores, from my patients in the hospital when I worked as a nurse. And for many years, I didn't work as a nurse because I was ill. Yeah, I just could not function in my vocation. I spent a bit of time working in a factory, putting together water picks. That was all I was capable of because of my illness. So I came into OA at the end of the 1980s, and I was living in a small town in northern Colorado. There was not a lot of recovery. I was feeling pretty hopeless. And at one point, I thought I would, and I think I started going to OA and AA meetings. And at one point, I thought I would rather be an alcoholic than a food addict. And so I started to drink again. Maybe that could be a way to stop binging. It didn't stop me from binging. I just combined the two together. Binging on alcohol, binging on food. And in a short time, was in a detox for alcoholism and in and out of several one treatment center. And around that time, after I got sober, I went to my first eating disorder treatment center. So I think that was around late 1980s. And that was a real turning point for me because I had never heard about eating disorders. And people there shared about the same things that I was doing. I saw a nutritionist who helped me formulate a food plan. I saw a psychiatrist who said, I think you're depressed. Let's try medicine. So I did, which I've been on ever since. And I was directed to therapy, which I've done a number of years over a number of times over the years. But the most helpful for me was doing trauma-focused therapy. So I've done that. But that was my introduction to really educational. It was my education. And it was the first time that different aspects of the disease were addressed. The food plan, the mental health issues, past trauma, and all kind of focused around 12 steps and groups that I started going to. So as I said, I've been coming for decades and with varying success in the program. What happened was in November of last year, I was in relapse, and the relapse was I was not eating large volumes of food, but my mental state was very desperate and very, I felt really hopeless. I couldn't stop. And
5 minutes left, please.
okay, thank you. I am going to try and wind down. What happened was I was on a meeting one day in November. Somebody put their name in the chat saying, I can sponsor, but you have to be in a certain time zone. You have to be new, not an old timer. Neither of those applied to me, but something inside said, ask, and I did. And she said, yes. And she took me through the steps, the 12 steps, over probably 3 or 4 months. And because of that, I am absent today. I just want to say that my higher power for me is that still small voice within. So now when I am quiet and I get a nudge, I frequently call my higher power my nudger. I listen and I act on it. It's not always the perfect way, but so far it's not let me down. There's more I wanted to say about travel and staying abstinent, but maybe another time, or I put my contact in the chat if anybody wants to talk about that. But I just want to say to the newcomer and anybody struggling that it is a promise that does come true for those who are suffering from the disease of compulsive eating. And I learned that I had a strong desire to stop. I really wanted to stop, but what it came down to was I did not have the power. And the big book talks about that dilemma. Is we don't have the power. And that's what the 12 steps have given me, is that power to say no, that power to say enough. I've had enough food, I'm going to stop. That power to, when I'm feeling angry, afraid, upset, confused, to not go and pick up food. So I just would encourage you to keep coming back and come to at least six meetings before you make up your mind about OA and read the pamphlet, the OA newcomer pamphlet. And that's what I did last November when I got my sponsor, is it was like I was at step one, even after all those years in the program. I went back to the basics. I did what I saw my sponsor do because I wanted to live instead of die from this disease. And I think that's probably close to time. Thank you, Janet, for asking me to speak today, and I'll pass.